But Tetzayin Amud Aleph of the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of Kibbul. Continuing on the topic of Kibbul, Mishnah says, Kibbul b'koymetz v'lova l'vona, if he did Kibbul involving the koymetz but not involving the l'vona. Now Rashi explains, and we're going to see in the Gemara, that the straightforward understanding of our Gemara is we're not talking as we were at the beginning of the Perek about when he takes the koymetz versus when he takes the l'vona. Where there we have the Machlokes of Yosi and the Chachamim about the details of that. Here we're talking about where he has a thought of Kibbul when he's bruning the koymetz on him, when he had in mind by the bruning of the koymetz. At the beginning of the Perek, Rashi learns that we were talking about the taking of the koymetz. Here we're talking about during the bruning of the koymetz, but not the bruning of the Levoina. He thought about, let's say, the Shirayim that he's going to eat them tomorrow, yeah. So he thought about that during the bruning of the koymetz, but not the bruning of the Levoina. The Levoina of the Levoina koymetz, so the other way around, he had in mind during the bruning of the Levoina and not during the bruning of the koymetz. Rav Meir and the pigul chayovin al koris. Rav Meir says, nevertheless, the koyvin will be pigul and he'll be chayav koris for, because the koymetz, well, we're going to see in the Gemara, the koymetz and the Levoina together make up the masir, and we're going to discuss the question, is it that Rav Meir holds Mefaglin Bachti Masir, that you're able to create Tigul using half the Masir, or are there other considerations? We'll see. So Rav Meir says it'll be Tigul. The Chum said there's no Karis until he makes Tigul with the entire Masir, so he would have to have in mind the thought of Tigul. In order for it to be Tigul, he'd have to have in mind during the bruning of the Koymas and the bruning of the Levoina. He would have in mind, knew what a thought of Kibbul, knew that he's going to eat the Shirayim tomorrow. Then it would make it that only then, well, no, that he would eat the Shirayim tomorrow, but he has it in mind when he's bruning the Koymet as well as when he's bruning the Levoina. The Rambam actually learns differently. The Rambam actually understands that in order for it to be Kibbul, he would also have to have in mind during the taking of the Koymet and the taking of the Levoina. Which gets into the question, therefore, what does the Rambam do with the first Mishnah of our Perek that mentioned only the taking of the Koymet and that mentioned only the taking of the Koymet and saying that Rav Yossi agrees over there that it's Kibbul? Yeah, but the Birkas HaZevach starts by saying that he asked this by Rav Heschel, and Rav Heschel gave him an answer having to do with the avoda that's involved with the koymet, taking it out of the mincha. You have a similar avoda when it comes to the levona, taking it off the mincha as well. Therefore, they can be considered two parts of one master. And then you have later achronim discuss and go back and forth about it, about can we accept that answer, we have questions on it, et cetera, et cetera. It becomes a whole big discussion to understand exactly what the Rambam shit is. The Rambam is a major posik on this, so it's, you know, when Mashiach comes, again, the Sanhedrin can decide differently, but right now, that's how we have the halacha in front of us, is in the long discussion, yeah. So you have quite a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of it. One of the other answers is that maybe the Rambam would learn that when Rav Yossi says he's moida, that it's Tigul, he means I'm moida to the mayor of our mission over here, that it would be Tigul in that case. In other words, you have three opinions. You have Rav Yossi, you have Rav Meir, and you have the Chachamim. The Rambam would be passing in on the Chachamim. Just because it says over there Rav Yossi is Moida doesn't mean it's a unanimous opinion. It means he's Moida, he means Rav Meir, and Rav Yossi would agree on that detail, but you still have the Chachamim again. Okay. Anyway. Umoidim Chachamim Rav Meir b'minchas choyte or b'minchas knoit. Now the Chachamim do agree with Rav Meir when it comes to the minchas choyte or the mincha of the choyte, where those don't have any levoina. Then change Pigol b'koymet. Then if he does Kibbul with only the koymetz alone, true Kibbul, chayovan ala karis, then it is Kibbul, and he'd be chayav karis for a track koymetz to a master, because then you only have the one master, the koymetz, you don't have levoina in that case. Well, we discussed in the Gemara before, the reason we discussed in yesterday's Gemara, the reason why the Chachamim have to stress that in the Mishnah, is to say that they're saying, when we say earlier in the Mishnah, in be karis, they say we still agree it's possible, but only midrabanan as a zera, because a regular mincha might be mixed up with the mincha kosher. So that's what this was the Mishnah we were referring to then on your dalet of a day. So yeah. Okay. Similarly, shachat echad hakvosim lechol beis chalos lamacher. similarly, if he shechted one of the two sheep on Shavuot, one of the two Shalmei Tzibur, intending to eat both challahs tomorrow, so again, before we had cases where he shechted both sheep having in mind on one challah, or having in mind half the challah and half the sheep, or whatever. Here we're talking about one sheep and two challahs. Or hikter echad min habazichin lechol beis zorim l'machar, or he burnt one of the bazichin, one of the two spoonfuls of levoina with the lechem afanim, having in mind that he's going to eat both stacks of lechem afanim tomorrow. Reb Meir and Reb Tigel v'chayav melech karis. Again, Reb Meir will say that it's Tigel and he's chayav karis for it, because even though you only have half the masir, that's not an issue to Reb Meir. And again, the Chachamim are going to say there's no Koris unless he creates Tigel with the entire Master. So therefore you need both Bazichin, or both Kvasim to have been shechted with the thought of Tigel. Another thing, Shachat Echam and Akvasim Lechol Mimenu L'macho, this we learned yesterday also, that if he shechted one of the Kvasim having in mind that he's going to eat from that very same Tevet tomorrow, then yeah, that particular tevet itself is pigul now. The other one is kosher, because the other one's not affected. We talked about before the kvasim of the matir for the lechem, and therefore we said the chachamim said against Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yosi, in the first Mishnah of our Perek, in the second Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Yosi had said that only the one he thought about is Tigel, only the Chala he thought about is Tigel, the other one is not, and the Chum disagreed. Here, where he had in mind, we're not even talking about the Chalas themselves, he had in mind from one Tevet to another, then only that one is Tigel, the other is not, because one Master cannot make the other Master Tigel, and the two Kvasim themselves are the Master.
The other day we were talking about
what we had in check with the Kvasim having in mind is one Chala versus two Chalas Lamachar. Yeah. Here we're talking about the Chalas are not even in the picture. He's just thinking within the Kvasim themselves. I'm shechting one Kevet, having in mind that I'm eating from this Kevet tomorrow. Yeah, a couple of them before should bring up a point. I think it's about Semes and some others bring up a point. I mean, after all, we said before that the Kvasim are active one another. Implying, in other words, if you have, let's say they shechted one Tevet, and then let's say the blood of the other one, and then it's blood spilled, then the other one would be kosher. You'd have to have another. So that being the case, how can we call one of them the master for itself when you need the other one as well? And the answer basically boils down to, they say, it is the master for itself. You have a side issue that you also have, the other one has to be shechted properly. But in and of itself, the shechting of the Tevet, and eventually the sprinkling of the blood, is master, the meat of that Tevet itself, to be eaten by the Kohen. Just in this particular case, you have another din on top of that, not a regular master din, but sort of a side issue that you need another tevet as well.
Okay.
So you were talking about within the one tevet. The point is, once you shech this one tevet and sprinkle with blood, that's it. That tevet is now mutter to eat. Although you still have, it's not totally mutter to eat until the other one is shechted and the blood is sprinkled as well.
You shech that tevet to the other one in mind.
That's the next thing in the Mishnah. Lechol mechaveru l'machar. If he shechted the one tevet, having in mind he's going to eat from the other tevet tomorrow, shneim cheder, then they're both kosher because one master can't make the other master tigel. The first case was he shechted one of the kvasim, having in mind he's going to eat from that tevet itself tomorrow. So it itself becomes tigel because the meat of the tevet is the mutter from the blood is the master. But ultimately you can't eat it until the other one is taken care of as well, but at least you can have at least the blood of this tevet, the sprinkling of the blood of this tevet, is the fundamental matir for the meat of that tevet itself. You have a side issue that you need another tevet as well. So therefore we can't say that it's a half a matir. Okay. So the Gemara still thought, Omer Rav, machloikis shenosen at hakoimis tishtika v'et halavonim v'machshon. The machloikis in our Mishnah, nothing to do specifically with the issue of ein mafaglin b'chtin matir, whether you're able to create pigul with only half the matir. No, Rav says the machloikas is if he had in mind when he placed the komet on the mizeach, the shtika, he didn't say anything. He didn't say or think any thought of tigel. That's a levoina of machshav. Afterwards, he did the levoina with a thought of tigel. That is where the mayor would say that it's enough to make a tigel. So it is because the mayor says that mafaglin machsi master. It is because the mayor says you're able to create tigel with only half. No, so I sort of saying, but I said wrong. You actually have a Gemara in Zvachim. We wrote this Mishnah and discussed it in Zvachim as well. There actually, the Shlokish starts off by saying that Reb Meir's reason is not because Mefaglim Dachti Matir, but rather because, as we're going to continue in our Gemara over here, it's a question about Das Yishonu Hu Oisa, is he continuing with his first Das or not? So here we're taking here we're starting from a different perspective, but still, if it's related. But rather saying, when he did only the Levona afterwards with the Machshava, that's when we would say that Reb Meir would say it's Tigel, because he did Tigel with half the Master, and that would be enough, and the Chachamim disagree. Avon Nosen, a Kremet Machshava, that's a Levona, but Shtika, but if he did the Kremet with a thought of Tigel, and then afterwards he did Levona without saying anything, give a hackle tiggle. Then Rav says everybody would agree, even the Chachamim, that it is definitely tiggle, because Shikola Osa, that's Yishona Osa, because when a person acts, he's continuing with his old das from before. Therefore, we can assume if he had a thought of tiggle regarding the first half, then he means for it to include the second half as well. That's, we assume that. Because we should assume if he had a certain machshava at the beginning, we should assume that he's continuing with the same machshava, unless he explicitly says otherwise. Okay, if he has in mind to eat from one keves, that doesn't mean later on when he does another or completely different avodah with another keves that he's having in mind on that keves also. But here we're talking about within the same mincha, we're talking about the keves versus the levona of it. If he has in mind during the keves that he's going to eat from the shirayim of this very mincha tomorrow, then for pashtus, when he does the levona, he probably has the same thing in mind and he just didn't re-specify it. So it says that. Shmuel says even in that case you'll have a machloitis. We don't say kolo oisa al das yishonu hu oisa. We still would have the machloitis in that case. Reb Meir would say that you have half the matir and that's enough to make a pigle, and the chachamim will disagree.
So it depends on Rav and Shmuel.
So Rav versus Shmuel. Okay. Yosef Rav of a ka'amal al ha-shmaita. So a shittim kumetis brings another line over here. V'chein amar Rav Yechon and adayin hi machloitis. That Rav Yochanan also said, like Shmuel, that it's still a machloket. That becomes relevant when it comes to deciding who the halacha is like. Normally, in Dini Isser Beheter, usually the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel, which would mean, in that case, if the halacha was like Rav over here, it would mean that in that case, where the Kremis was Machshava and the Labona was not, then it would be Pigel according to the Chachamim as well, and therefore that would be the halacha. However, here the Rambam passed him like Shmuel. Now, why did he pass him like Shmuel? One reason is because we have Rav Yochanan on his side as well. Usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav, but in any case you have two against one. You have Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. Okay. Yosef Rava v'ka'amal al ha-shmaita, Rava, or Shittim Kobeta says Rava, was sitting and saying over this discussion of Rav and Shmuel, or this, or particularly he was saying over Rav's statement. That machlokas in our Mishnah is, it depends what order the machshavas pigel and the shtika were in. A state of Acha Bar Rav Huna l'Rava. So Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna asks Rava, I have a sphere for you as follows. On Rav. A Braisa says as follows. V'medvar mamurim b'knissa u'matan kli u'vehilu. When are we talking about that we're saying that a machshava of Tigel regarding the avoda involving the Kremit that is going to make the mincha Tigel is when it comes to the first three avodas. The knissa, the putting it in a sishore, and the walking it over to the mizbeach. Avol bolo lachtara, but when it comes to the bruning of it on the mizbeach, then it's not so simple. Then nothing. If a kremis v'shitika v'as alavon of lachshava, then, because then at that point, when it comes to bruning out on the mizbeach, you have two parts. You have the kremis and you have the lavona. Again, based on what we were saying before, that Amman would understand that the kremis and the lavona you have as two parts from the beginning, which leads to the question, then what is he doing with our Gemara over here? One of the explanations also, what the Rambam would do with it, is he would say, yes, but on the other hand, you have a braisa in Stoita, at the beginning of the second paragraph of Stoita, that describes the procedure of bringing a mincha, and it mentions over there the fact that you have to move the Lavona aside, and then after you take the Kremis, you have to gather up all the Lavona and put it together with it. The Rambam may hold that Gemara overrides the one over here. And therefore, that the Kremis and the Levona, even when it comes to first taking them off the Mincha, are two parts of the Avodah, rather than like we're saying. It's in Sota, at the beginning of the second paragraph, when I described there how the Sota's Mincha is brought. So the Gemara digresses over there to talk about in general how is Mincha brought. And it brings a Braisa that describes it step by step. The third mincha supposed to have certain unique features, but nevertheless, it is a mincha. It still has most of the din of a mincha.
Okay.
Anyway, going back to Gemara. So, again, avot boloi laktara, but when it comes to the fourth avodah with the kohmet, the burning of the kohmet and the levoina on the mizbeach, then it depends. Nothing if a kohmet the shtika of the levoina machshava, if he puts the kohmet on the mizbeach without saying anything, then he puts the levoina with a machshava of pivul, or the other way around, if a kohmet the machshava that's a levoina b'shtika, or the other way around, he puts the kohmet with a machshava, and then he puts the levoina without saying anything. In both cases, Reb Meir omer pigul v'chayavan olav karet. Reb Meir will say pigul because mefaglin b'chsi matir. V'chamem ein v'karet ad shifagul v'chala matir. V'cham say it's no karet unless he did pigul with the entire matir. Katani Mia, the look, what does it say in the Brisa? Nothing if the claim is machshava, that's a levoina b'shtika. We said that the second case in the Brisa was he put the claimant, right, means he put the claimant with a machshava, then he put the levoina on the fire with nothing, with b'shtika, or pligi, and we see Reb Meir and the Chachamim agree. So that works according to Shmuel. How would Rav explain that? Rav, who says that they only argue when he did the first one machshava and the second one b'shtika, because kol ha'oisa, no, he says that then they don't argue because kol ha'oisa al dasi shono ha'oisa. We see from the Braisa they're arguing in both cases. The answer is emo chavarnos in a talaboyin of b'shtika mekra. Okay, you could change the wording of the Braisa. It doesn't mean that he put the kremet machshava and then he puts the levoina with shtika. You could say it the other way around, that what it means is had that we put the kremet with a machshava and previously he had already placed the levoina with shtika. It could be. Okay, the problem with that is shtei chuvot b'davar. On the other hand, we have two ways of refuting that argument. Chada d'hainu kamaisa. Number one, then you're just repeating the same cases in the first part of the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa is they put the kremes b'shtika and then the levoina b'machshava. The second case would be what? You're saying he put the kremes b'machshava and previously he put the levoina b'shtika. Now, obviously, the respective order of kremes and levoina isn't what matters. What matters is the respective order of shtika and machshava, according to Rav. So in that case, if you're changing the wording of the second half, then you're saying effectively the same din. Again, that's one problem.
Are you restoring the order?
If you change the order in the second half of the Braisa to make it work for the Rav, then you're basically just repeating the same din as in the first half. You're switching around Mincha and you're switching around Kremitz and Levoina, but that doesn't matter. That's number one. V'oid hotanya achaka. We have another Braisa that spells it out more clearly, that he puts the Kremitz with a Machshava, and afterwards he puts the Levoina with Shtita. And we're saying that they're arguing. Point to Rav, they shouldn't be arguing because Aldas is showing who owns it. The answer is Tirgum Rav Chanina B'Gay's Day. Fine, but Rav Chanina says, you know how you can explain the Braisa, according to Rav, is two deis in the sense you have two different people involved. Meaning, in other words, let's say, now you don't have to have, I mean, you would often have that when it comes to a mincha, you have one kohen doing all the avodas of it. But it doesn't have to be that way. You could have one kohen take the kohenes and the other one take the levoina and burn them. So if you have two kohenim, Reuven and Shimon, and you have Reuven doing the kohenes with machshava, and you have Shimon doing the levoina with shtika, you can't say aldas v'shoina huoisa. It's a different day. So then you can have the argument: does it work because you only had half the matir was done with a thought of pigul or not? No, but then they're fine. But the Braisa could be telling. Fine, the Braisa could be telling us, but that's why. Then, in other words, the point is the Braisa would be stressing that the machlokes between the Meir and the Chachamim is because of mefaglin b'chsi matir, and it is based on the question: can you create pigul with only half the matir? So then, in that case, so we could make that work. According to that. Well, Shmuel doesn't need that. Shmuel could say more straightforwardly. We're talking about it's all one person. But Rav, who says that depends which one is first and which one is second, fine. So Rav would have to understand that we're talking about two different days. That's okay. It doesn't have to add anything. The point is, we have different braises that are formulated in different ways. We're explaining the halacha. We have a braise. Yes, okay. So fine. But at least the braise is not contradicting Rav. Okay. However, Tashma, but Ka must bring another proof, because another Braisa says, Ramedvar Mamurim, the earlier part of the Braisa talks about the idea that when it comes to Domim Hanisonim Bisnim, that when it comes to the blood that goes, when it comes to the blood of Hatoris Apnimi, it's the one that the five Hatoris, where the blood is sprinkled inside the Hechel, The first part of that braisa says like this. When it comes to a korban where the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach achisa. Now, we learned back in Zvachim that even though most korbanos, you have to have multiple applications of blood to the mizbeach, four for a chatas, shtei matanas shein abba for most other korbanos. Nevertheless, we said with any korban, if even one application of blood was done, b'dieved the korban is kosher. Even by a chatas, we have a chodas, a shan avitzil, but of course, halacha is like a tzil, as it usually is, that one matana is enough to be b'dieved. So therefore, when it comes to the korbanos that are done b'chutz, that are done on the mizbeach, that are done on the mizbeach chitzen, even one application of blood with a thought of chutzpah's mana is enough to make the korban tizzle, because that's all you need to make the korban kosher. So the braisa says, when is that talking about regarding blood that goes on the mizbeach chitzen? Because then you don't need all the applications; you only have one application and b'dieved is good. But when it comes to the blood that goes on the mizbeach hapnimi, for example, the 43 applications of blood that are done on Yom Kippur, you have 8 of the par inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 8 of the sor inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 8 of the par and 8 of the sor on the parisa, that's a 32 so far. Then you mix them together, 4 times on the 4 corners of the mizbeach hazav, and 7 on the top, so 8, 8, 8, 8, 4 and 7 equals 43. So when it comes to those 43, and we know from Ezel Makoyim and Matana Achas Man Me'akobas that every Matana of them is important, and if you miss even one of them, then it's not, then you're not Yetzer. Or the Achas Eshushal Pau Koyim Mashurach, or the 11 sprinklings that you have with the power of the Koyim Gadol, when he makes a mistake in Halacha, where there you have 7 on the Parochas and 4 on the corners of the Mizbeach Hazav. Or the 11 of the Par Helam Devashal Tzibur, then different rules apply. Again, when it comes to the ones that are on the Mizbeach HaKetzon, one matana with a thought of chutzpah's mana is enough to make the korban tizzle. But when it comes to the one with him, you need every matana. Therefore you can't just say that if you have a thought of tizzle in one matana, then it's going to make the whole thing tizzle because you had the other ones are not done with a thought of tizzle, with a thought of chutzpah's mana. However, on the other hand, what you have is, because we just said that those sprinklings are divided into different sets. You have a set in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have a set in front of the Parochet. And you have a set on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Each of those counts separately. Therefore, continues the Braita, Tigol ben Barishayno ben Bashniro ben Bashlishis, if he had a thought of Tigol within the first group, or within the second group, or within the third group, first group being on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, second group being on the Parochet, the third group being on the Mizbeach HaZahav, Reb Meir and the Pigul of Chayavan al Karis. Reb Meir says that it'll be Pigul and it'll be Chayav Karis if somebody eats from the meat of one of these Karbanas. Bachamim and the Karis actually Pagul b'Cholamaseh. Bachamim say no. You would have to have Pigul. You would have to have a thought of Chutzpah's Mana in all of the sprinklings, in all 3 sets of sprinklings, all 43 or 11 sprinklings. So that's the question. Katani, we have Tigel, Ben Bereshino, Ben Bashio, Ben Bashlishes, or Fligi. Now, what do we have? We have the situation over here. We have where Rameir is saying it's Tigel, whether he had a thought of Tigel in the first group, or in the second, or in the third. Now, what does it happen? Now, if he had a thought of Tigel on the first one, based on what Rav is saying, the Chachamim should agree that it's Tigel. He had a thought of Tigel regarding the sprinklings and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore, and then he did the rest of them b'shtita. He did the ones in front of the Parochas and the ones on the Mizbeach HaZahav without saying anything. Based on Rav, the Chachamim should agree that, yeah. So that's a proof against Rav. Well, but the Braisa over here, so we, Rav, I mean, again, we have occasionally that Rav can contradict the Braisa, but we try not to do that, especially where we don't know that Rav necessarily knew this Braisa.
He holds that it can be...
Again, Rav had help. No. Well, yeah, he doesn't see a reason to make a distinction, but therefore, in other words, so according to Rav, if you had a thought of Tigel regarding an earlier avodah or an earlier phase of the avodah, then it all affects the later ones as well, even if you didn't have anything specific in mind by then. So why in our braisa are we saying that if you had a thought of chutzpah's mana on the first one, Rav Meir is saying it's Tigel, the Chachamim will say it's not. According to Rav, the Chachamim should agree. That's
because
No, well, then one second. That's the word. Okay, so hold on. V'chitema hachinami b'shteideis. So you might answer, maybe also we're talking about over here, relax. Yes, the Kohen you have only the Kohen Gadol. But, of course, you could have, conceivably, that in the middle, the Kohen Gadol dies or becomes fossil or whatever, and somebody else has to take over. So you could answer, maybe that's what we're talking about. However, that doesn't work according to everybody. Because you have a machloikas like this. You have a machloikas in Yuma. Suppose that the Kohen Gadol starts doing the avodas lifnim. He brings in the blood of the pirates, and he starts doing the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then let's say he dies, or he becomes possible, or what happens, and the substitute Kohen Gadol has to take over. Do we say that he can continue with the blood of the pyre that the first one was using already, or does he have to start all over again and shech a new pyre and begin with that? So it's machlokes in Yuma. It's also, I mean, we have the sugya, the various pieces of the sugya we had in a different order in Zohar. Because we had a discussion over there also about this whole question of Aldas Yishona who owes her or not. So over there it was in connection with the question about doing some sprinklings with a thought of Chutz Mane and some not, or whatever, some parts of the Shrita with a thought of Chutz Mane and some not, whatever, but yeah. So Hanichal Manda Omar the power of Asil Bajamish of power. Fine, that would work according to the opinion. That when the pasuk says the zoyt yavei iron al kodesh with fire, that with this iron shall come into the kodesh hakadoshim with a power, you have an opinion in Yuma over there that says when it says he has to come in with a power, doesn't mean he has to come in having shechted an actual power. It's enough if he comes in vasud of a domishal power. He could be coming in with the blood of a power that was shechted while the previous kohen gadol was still available. Well then, good. Then you could have a case where you have two deists over here because you could have that. Kohen Gadol number one did the sprinklings in the Kodesh Kadashim with a thought of Tigal. Kohen Gadol number two took over and did the ones in front of the Parashas. He didn't have a thought of Tigal. And so then we could say, you can't tell Daf Yishon Ahuay, because he's not following the Daf of the previous one necessarily. Right. So then we could still have the Machloikas of the Mayor and the Chachamim even appointed Av. So that would work. El Amanda Omar, the power of the Lord, the shall power. But according to the opinion in Yuma over there, that it doesn't work. When the prophet says he has to come in with a power, means he himself has to have shafted the power. And therefore, if he's taking over for the previous Kohen Gadol, then he has to start over with a new power. Well, then, Ma'ikal Nema, then what are you going to say? Then how do you have a case? We have two deists involving the sprinklings inside the Hekel. Amar Rava, the Rava says you could have a case like this. Talk of my students who's going to pigle Barishona. Suppose that he had a thought of Chutzpah's Manoi, which makes it Tigal, on the first set, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Shosek B'Shnia, then he didn't say anything on the second one, but then Upigal B'Shlishit, then he again said, I'm going to eat Chutzpah's Manoi on the third group, the ones on the Mezeh HaZah. Right? So then we have to say it like this. Now then we can say, if you're going to say that when he's continuing to act, he's following his original daft, why would he be repeating it the third time? Obviously the fact that he's repeating it tells us retroactively that he did not have a thought of figure on the second one. Well, then you're back to the machloikas. Then you don't have al daf yishona huoysa. Then you're back to the case of mefaglin b'chti maser or a mefaglin b'chti maser. But Rav can understand it that way. Rav can understand it that when it says a pigul bein b'rishona bein b'shniya bein b'shlishis, it could mean b'rishona would mean he had a thought of pigul on the first one and then nothing on the second one and then again on the third one, and similarly on the other one. B'shniya would mean he had no machshava on the first one. He had a machshava on the second one, and it doesn't matter whether you had a machshava on the third one or not. Reb Meir would say that mefaglin b'chti maser. The Chachamim would say that not, because the first one was good, and similarly with the third one. Rav says daf yishona, meaning Rav is saying that the Chachamim, we still have the basic idea that Reb Meir is saying that you can make pigul with half the maser, and the Chachamim are saying you can't. However, if you have, he did the first one with a machshava, and the other two parts without a machshava, We're saying Rav is going to say, the Chachamim are going to say, that's not called Masayim Rachti Matir. That's called the entire Matir was done with a thought of Figel. Therefore, they're not going to disagree in that case. But if you have a case where he did the first one with the Machshava, the second one without the Machshava, the third one again with the Machshava, that tells us retroactively that the second one did not participate in that Machshava. The second one was done without a Machshava of Kigul. It's as if by the second one he said explicitly, I'm not going to eat it tomorrow. Good, well then therefore, so according to the mayor, you still have the first and the third ones were done with a thought of chutzpah manas, therefore pickle, because mefagim machti matir, the chachamim are going to say they're not, because they mefagim machti matir. That's your shayna. But that's the thing, so if he didn't do anything, if he didn't say anything by the second and the third, that's where Rav would say it. But if he said something again by the third one, then Rav is not going to say that. Then Rav is going to say differently. Then we don't say Aldas Rishonu Oysa. Rav's rule of Aldas Rishonu Oysa is where there was Machshava and then Shtika and nothing else afterwards. Here there was Machshava, Shtika, Machshava. Yeah. Actually, on the side over here, it brings
Aldas Rishonu
then. No, that's what it is. It means, in other words, that the second one follows the first. But over here, you have a new Machshava on the third part. So therefore, you can't say the third part follows the first one, and therefore, retroactively, that means the second one didn't follow the first one either. So it'll work, according to Rav. Because Rav is saying when there's only Machshava and then Shtika. The Shtika follows the previous Machshava, but when there's Machshava, Shtika, Machshava, then in the new Machshava is a new Machshava. Therefore, you have in between, there was a Shtika. There was a part that wasn't with a thought of Chutzpah Manos. And the Chachamim were saying, Ein Mefagim Rachti Matir. Therefore, that's it. Yeah. On the side of it here, it brings a different gesture from the Sfarim Kodshim that the case could be talking about. He had the thought of Chutzpah Manos on the first one and on the second one, and then we don't know what he had in mind on the third one. Well, there's a similar idea. In other words, if we're going to say, Aldas Rishonu Oysa, he would have had no need to think it again by the second one. The fact that he did demonstrate that it's not Aldas Rishonu Oysa. Okay.
Well, initially, the Aldas whatever follows the first one is right.
No. We're saying the Shtika that follows the first one is right. Okay. Fine. Rashi. However, Rashi asked on that, okay, but if you're going to answer that way, that there was a sticker on one of them, then you're missing an essential part of the Braita. The Braita didn't say anything about being quiet on one of them. Your whole answer, Rava, depends on there having been a part of it where he was quiet. So then the Braita should have said so. Elo, Amar Ravashi, no. Talk of my opinion, no. Rather, the case we can say we're talking about over here, A variation of what Rava is saying. So going to pigle Bereshona over Shnia over Shlish. We can be talking about where he had the thought of Chutzpah Manos on the first one and on the second one and on the third one. Now, here you have a difference of your thought. One second. Rashi over here says that we're talking about Bereshona over Shnia and then not on the Shlish. So that because that he takes out the word of a shlishi, or on the side it says v'shafak v'shlishi. Tosfos discusses that actually not necessarily, because you could argue when it comes to the ones of Yom Kippur, you can break it actually into four groups. You have the Kodesh HaKadoshim as one group, the Parochas is the second group. Then you can say that actually the corners of the Mizbeach are the corners of the Mizbeach could be considered a third group, and the top of the Mizbeach could be considered a fourth group. We're talking about the Hazar, yeah.
Or, which
is
there?
The Mizrach Hazar, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Mizrach Hazar. Or another possibility is you could consider all the ones on the Mizrach Hazar to be the third group, and then the pouring of the Shirayim on the Mizrach HaChitzayim, according to the opinions that Ma'akib could be considered the fourth group. The point is, so therefore, Tosfos says you don't have to take out the word Shlish. The point being, in other words, that we're actually talking about where there was one part that he didn't have a thought on, where there was no Machshava, it was the last one, third according to Rashi, fourth according to Tosfos. However, each of the previous ones, he did have the Machshava again and again. He didn't just have the Machshava in the first group, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and then allow it to continue automatically to the other ones, like Rav is saying. He specifically said, or thought, in the one in the Kodesh Kedoshim, I'm going to eat from this korban tomorrow. And then again, during the ones in front of the Parosh, I'm going to eat from this korban tomorrow. And so forth. So then, so now we say like this, if we assume, like Rav is saying, that everything that's done follows the first daf, Neheder Piguli Vashneo Vashlishis Lamali, then there'd be no reason to repeat it by the second or by the third time. The fact that he did that demonstrates that he didn't intend the one with Shtika to follow the other one. So then you can have Rasa now, according to Rav, Rav Meir and Machachavim can be arguing. Rav Meir would say it doesn't matter. The fact that some of it was done with the thought of Pigul is enough for the whole thing to be Pigul, because the Fagul and Machsi Master. The Chum are saying there's no Pigul unless you had a thought of Pigul in the whole thing. Now the Chachamim, according to Rav, would agree that if you had a thought only on the first group, and then no thoughts on any of the other groups, then the Chachamim would agree, according to Rav, as Pigul, because Kala'os al-Das is trying to arise. But the fact that he had an extra sort of pigle on the second one, according to Rav Ashi, breaks that down. It's kind of like Kol HaMoshes Yoreya. Having added another sort of pigle takes away that now, unless he explicitly has sort of pigle on every single step, then according to the Chacham, it's not going to be pigle, according to Rav. So we can make it work according to Rav that way. Okay. The problem with that is, the Bane Bane Kasani. Okay, but according to that, according to either of these explanations, you have to, according to any of these explanations of Rav, you're forced to explain that it means that it's not just that he had a thought of Pigul in one component of it, and then in the first component, or in the second component. You have to say, according to the way we just explained, that he had in the first one and in the second one, or the first one and the third one, whatever. And yet the Braita used, well, Bain Bain for funny, I mean, the Braita used the expression that he had a thought, he had a machshava, Bain Barishana, whether in the first one, Bain Vashniya, whether in the second one, implying that each one is disjoint, each one is all by itself. A thought of Pigul on any one of those segments is going to be enough to make it Pigul. Again, that works according to Shmuel, that doesn't really work according to Rav. And the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right, Kasha, that's a Kasha on Rav. It's not a complete stira to him, but nevertheless, it does make it hard to understand the Braita that way, according to Rav.
You would say the Dutch Shas would be if you have one on the first one?
And only on the first one. Right. But if you had on the first one and on the second one, he wouldn't apply Dutch Shas. So that would work. If the Braita had said, Pigul Barishoina over Shnia over Shlishis, then you could explain it that way. But since it says, Bain Barishoina, Bain Bashnia, Bain Bashlishis, it implies that each one of them can stand by itself. That doesn't seem to work, according to Rav. So we're left with a cash on Rav. That's the thing. According to Rav, if he had a thought, if he had a machshava on the first group, but not on the second and not on the third, then it would be Pigul even according to Chacham. And Shmuel is disagreeing with that. So we're saying, right, the Braita, the wording, Bain this, Bain that, doesn't seem to work out so well, according to Rav.
Why can't you say that, according to Rav, if you had one mashallah early on any one of them?
Because if you had on the second one, for sure, Rav would say, the Chum would say it doesn't work. You can't say, Adaf, you're sure you know who are, but you don't take things retroactively. You don't, if you had a mashallah of Chutzlut Mane on the second segment, it's not going to go back and apply to the first segment. Then you're going to have, for sure, the mayor is going to say that it's Pigul and the Chum are going to say it's not. Rav is trying to find a case. Rav is trying to tell us you have a case where even though he didn't have a machshava on every component, the Chachamim are still going to say it's Pigul, but that can only be when he had the machshava on the first one, and then we're going to apply it across to the rest of them.
Because it doesn't go
retroactively, yeah.
If you had it only in the middle one?
If you had it only in the middle one, then you would say, then Rav would agree that the Chachamim would say it's not Pigul. Okay.
You would tend to think on Dallas and his would be retroactive.
Now, how could it be? Al Das Rishona means that if he had a Das at the beginning, then if he had a Das at the beginning, then you can follow it for the rest. If he did Vishtika, if he didn't have any particular Das at the beginning, what are you going to apply to?
What happens if you did on the second one, and then when you did the second one, you had a Kavana for the first one?
Too late. Really?
Too late.
Yeah. Yeah. You can only have a Machshava during the actual Avodah or segment of the Avodah itself. Yeah. By the way, you have an interesting point that the Urzaruah brings up in this connection of all places in Hilchos Yibum. He brings up the question, the Urzaruah brings up a related point to this. What do we mean when we're asking whether Al-Das is showing who Oysa? Ask him what he has in mind. Did he have in mind on the second one to continue the first one or not? So the Urzaruah says, we see from this Gemara and we see from other places where it discusses this idea of Das Yishona, that we don't say that. We, meaning the Chachamim, determine what his Das Rishona was and therefore what his subsequent Das is. The fact that he may say afterwards, no, but I had a different Das for the second one, wouldn't mean anything. Is irrelevant. We establish his Das. Yes. Yeah. So the Arizona talks about it in connection with a complicated din in Hilchot Yibum Bahalitza, where a person had a shifra snanis and had children with her, and afterwards you have a question: did he free her, and then his children with her are legitimate, or did he not free her, and then they have modim, and therefore it's relevant as far as Hilchot Chalitza Yibum. So you get into the whole thing of das yishona, and afterwards over there also. Yeah.
Okay. What happened? He said, I don't remember which one I had. I don't remember which one.
So if he doesn't remember, I guess we can't. So then I guess we, well, so as far, well, first, no, well, first this way, the Kodesh is going to be possible regardless. As far as whether a person is going to be high of Kodesh for eating it, Kodesh is in Hashem's hands. Hashem knows the fact. So he doesn't remember. The Kodesh is going to be possible regardless. Okay.
They wouldn't be Kodesh.
So it may or may not be Kodesh, depending on what the actual facts were in. Because Hashem will know the truth then. I guess the relevance of it would be, if they gave Masura for Malkus, would he get Malkus or not? Okay, you can't give a person Malkus for Snuffix, I guess. Okay. Alright. Okay. So the conclusion is that the Braisa is difficult to understand the coins of that. There is a way in which we can make it work, but then we're left with the Bane logic. Yes. Yeah. So the Mishnah and the Gemara talk about that in Gittin. The answer is, if he did it the Mazid, then yes. If he did it the Shodig, then no.
And so why should the Baal go?
No, so if it was the Shodig, okay, it was the Shodig. People make mistakes. But if it was the Mazid, then he's like any magic, then yes. Okay. Okay. Now, let's go on. Omamar, now let's look at another detail of this braisa that we just quoted regarding the hazoi of the chatoi hasminius. We said, Rav Meir on the tigul v'chayov and olav kodesh. We said that if he does some of the sprinkling with a thought of chutzus manai and the rest of it not, we said Rav Meir says it doesn't really matter the order because either way it's going to be chayav kodesh for eating it because mefagim v'chayav matir. The problem is a different problem. Nechti kodesh v'chayav ad shiyikru v'kolam achirim. Now let's consider. We know a person doesn't become high of kodesh for eating pigle unless all the materin were offered. The Amamar, Yeroth, because we learned in the Zvachim about this, that when the Pasuk says regarding pigle, it uses the expression lo Yeroth, it will not be acceptable. We learn from the word Yeroth, you have basically a data shava. You have it says lo Yeroth in connection with pigle. In connection with a good curve, and it says Yeroth. So we make it data shava. Ma tarsas kosher tachar sas posel, the same way as a kosher korban is accepted by Hashem and becomes a valid korban, the same way when it comes to pigle, you have the same thing has to happen in order for it to be muse, in order for it to be acceptable, but then be pigle. Namely, ma tarsas kosher ad shirikur v'chol ha-mashirin, namely, when it comes to a kosher korban, all of the mashirin has to be offered. And in particular, what we mean is, Rashi says, it means, let's say, within the avodah itself that he's doing, you can't have, for example, let's say, when it comes to shchita. Shchita consists of shechting the two simonim of the animal, the windpipe and the esophagus. So if the animal is not kosher for a korban, if you only shecht one of them, so therefore, you would have to have the, all the materin have to be offered. In this case, the entire shchita has to be done. The same way, when it comes to a korban that's posel, when it comes to a korban that's pigle, what makes it kavua as pigle is when all the materin have been properly offered. Now, the problem with that becomes is behind. Now, in our case, of the chatzar tachin, where again he sprinkled some of them with the thought of chutzus manai, which makes them pigle, and some of them not. The problem is, given the choshev of him, once he had in mind a thought of chutzus manai while he did one group of sprinklings inside, or let's say b'tinim means in the kodesh hakadoshim. So then, ki madi b'heichel. So now, when he comes to sprinkle it in the heichel, the korban is already possible at that point. The korban is already possible because of the thought of tigul in the kodesh hakadoshim. Therefore, ki madi b'heichel. So now when he goes and does the sprinklings in the heichel, maya ba'alma hu dekamadi. Effectively, we can't consider that he's sprinkling blood of a korban anymore because the korban is already posel. We should consider it effectively as if he's sprinkling water. So therefore, all of the sprinklings that are needed for this korban to be kosher haven't happened anyway. So how is Rav Meir saying that it's pigle? Now, so Rashi says, can't you, yeah, so Rashi asks, can't you ask the same question by other avodas as well? The reason is, Rashi says, because when, with other avodas, you're saying that the one entire avoda was done with a machshava, then fine, we're saying that the fact that the other avodas are being done later, that doesn't make a difference. Eventually, the other avodas, yes, it's true that they're taking place with a carbon that's already possible, because already he had a thought of pigle, that's enough to start the process of making it possible with pigle. Nevertheless, though, we don't worry about that because of different avodas. But here we're talking all within the same avodas. So we can't have, in other words, the argument is, we can't have half of the avodah being possible and half being kosher. It's either all kosher or all possible. Once he made part of it possible, the rest of that particular avodah, in this case, the 43 sprinkling, shouldn't count. So according to the mayor, how do you ever have a case where this carbon can be diggled? Well, that's, no, well, that's the question. That itself is the question. On Rav Meir. If he's saying, but here we're talking about within one avoda. In our Mishnah, we're talking about, for example, burning the Kaimis versus burning the Lavona, which are two separate parts of the Matir. Here we're talking about all the sprinklings together constitute one Matir. So it's not really the same thing. Tosfos brings up another possibility. That also, we can say, we're not going to say that Torah and Avodah is possible as a result of the rest of it, if they're all in the same place. However, here we're talking about sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim versus sprinklings in the Heichal. So we should argue, again, we know that the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in a certain sense, are considered a unit of their own, in the sense that, for example, if the blood spills after he does the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he shefts another carbon, you don't have to start over with the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you just start off with the ones in the Heichal. Because each group is a unit of its own. So therefore, here when we're talking separate places, then we should say once one unit has been done and it was possible, now the rest of the unit shouldn't count at all. Because they're in a different place, as opposed to the thing. So the other ones were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Yes.
Well, that's the point, because each one is considered a unit of its own, and they take place in different places. Maybe, that's what Tosfos is saying. When we say that the Xeris HaKosu, which is how Pigle works in the first place, is how the mechanism of Pigle works. If you did one avoda with a sort of Chutzpah Manos, and it affects all the rest of the avodas, fine, but that's where all the avodas are done in the same area. Here we're talking, you don't have any source to say that should apply to things that have to be done in different areas, in this case, Kurdish production versus Heichal.
So there are different places related in the Avodah.
But here we're saying within here also. Here you have the Torah insists that some of these sprinkling be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and others the Torah insists to be done in the Heichal. So you don't have a source to say that it should apply from one to the other, and therefore we should say that the first ones were possible and therefore the rest of them don't count at all. So according to the mayor, how is it tickled? That's the question. That's the question. No. Hold on. We're asking that according to the mayor, it shouldn't. Because you can say that from one avoda to another. You can say that if he shechted a carbon, for example, having in mind Chutzpah Manos, later on, the Kabbalah is a valid Kabbalah, the Halacha is a valid Halacha, the Zrika is a valid Zrika, and once that Zrika is done, now the carbon is pickled. And similarly with the Mincha. However, when you're talking two parts, as Rashi says, two parts of one avoda, or as Tosfos says, two parts that have to take place in different places, we can't necessarily say that. We should rather say the first part, it already became possible, therefore the second part doesn't happen. It's considered as if it doesn't happen. That's the question. You have to have the entire sprinkling done in order for it to be tickled. That's the question. Well, we have to ask. We're asking on that. Amar Rabba, Mashkachas la ba'avah parim ba'avah se'irim. So Rabba answers, I'll show you a case how you can have it. You could have, imagine that there are four Purim and there are four Seirim. Because again, you could have a case where the blood of one or the other of them, of the power of the Seirim, gets spilled, and therefore you have to shecht another animal and continue with the next segment. So now, let's say, for example, he brings the blood of the power and he brings the blood of the Seirim into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now let's say he does the Hazoyt inside the Kodesh HaKadosh, and he has in mind the thought of pigle regarding it, that he's going to eat from the meat of it, he's going to burn the emurim chutzpah man. Now the blood of it spills. So now you have to shecht another power and another sir and continue with the ones in the heichal. He does those, And then also the blood spills. So now you need a third. Now you need a third set of animals to do the hazoris on the four corners of the mizbeach hazor. Then let's say the blood of those spills, and you need a fourth set to do the hazoris on top of the mizbeach hazor. The point is, each one of them is kosher in and of itself. You don't need any more matir for it itself, because again, each one of those groups is its own unit, and you don't have to repeat it again. So therefore, yes, you could have, says Rabbah, so you could have, therefore, that the fact that he had a sort of tiggle regarding the first set that he did in the Kodesh Kodashim is not going to affect the kashrus of the second, of the next one, where he's doing the hazois in front of the parosa.
Well,
so
that depends on the
No, 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 everybody agrees you don't start all over. Hold on. That's where you're replacing the Kohen Gadol. Here he's talking about where you're replacing the blood. Replacing the blood, everybody agrees you don't have to start over. There's a machloka, so you have to start over within a segment. If, let's say, he did five of the hazaris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then it's filled, does he have to start over with the first one in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or can he just do the remaining three? That you have a machloka, so the Lazer and Shimon versus the Chachamim in Yoma. But we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about he did all the hazaris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a thought of Chutzpah Mamet. Now the blood's filled. So now when he's bringing a new animal, and using the blood of it for the sprinklings on the heichal, that one's not affected by the previous one. Therefore, you can say, that yes, the sort of tiggle on the first one, it affects the next one in the sense that now, once the avodas are finished, once all the sprinklings are finished, then you have tiggle. However, you can't say that it passes them to the extent that they're not considered as if they happen at all, because it's a different animal and different blood. Well, okay, but that's the point. In other words, then Reb Meir would say that is the case that Reb Meir would say that you're able to create tiggle using the part of Mentirium and Estrusim by having a sort of tiggle only on the first part.
Why would you think that's the case?
Because you can have the case. The point is, Reb Meir has said that you have a case that's tiggle v'chayav and alakaris. We would have to explain, says Rabbah, that's the case, where he would say, otherwise it's not, then it wouldn't be tiggle anyway. Rava says no. Actually, became a parah up of the third. But no, you could even say never mind spilling, never mind replacing. You're talking about one parah and one third throughout. You could answer l'tigulei mirati. As far as the din of tigul, we will say that it is mirati. It's true. The korban is possible, meaning in other words, it's true. The korban is possible as soon as you did the first set of sprinkling with the thought of chutzpah mamet. However, in connection with the dinim of tigul, just as we say that it applies across avodah, so we will say that it applies across segments of one avodah. So it will be acceptable as a sprinkling of blood regarding the dinim of tigul. In the sense, we won't say like the Haba Amina was that it's only water and therefore you don't have all the sprinklings done and therefore it can't be tigul. Reb Meir is going to say within the dinim of tigul itself, we will consider that the rest of those sprinklings actually took place and it really was blood as it really was and not water. So therefore, yes, he finishes up all the 43 sprinklings, and now once he finishes the last sprinkling, now it turns out that the korban is tigul, because now the sort of tigul that he had before now is able to take effect once korban kol matir. So that's it. So Rabbah says, so you don't need Rabbah's, so you don't need to say Rabbah's case where it's spilled and you replaced it. You can talk about where it's all one tire and one tire, but the later sprinklings do count as sprinklings regarding the dinim of tigul. So in other words, in the sense that they do combine together with the original ones that he did with the thought of chutzpah mamet, and now it's considered korban kol matir. The same way, again, as when we shech the korban with the thought of chutzpah mamet, the other avodas then all combine together with it to make it tigul. The same way over here, within one avoda, or within different places of one avoda, as Tosfos says, it also would combine.
So here we're saying in one avoda, let's say the sprinkling, you have the machshava
chutzpah mamet. In the first part, and Rabbah is saying, we're not going to say, therefore, that the later segments of sprinkling in front of the parochas or whatever are not considered as if they happen. They are considered as if they happen. Therefore, you have korban kol matir. Eventually, he gets to the point, you've done all 43 sprinklings, and at that point, the sort of figgle takes effect. Sort of tickle that he had earlier takes effect, and the carbon becomes tickle.
That's because the first one affects all the others.
Fine, that's the point of Reb Meir, but the point is, in other words, if we followed the Havam, meaning that we were saying in the Gemara, we would say that the other ones are not even considered as if they happened. Rather say, because even though they physically happened, we would consider them that they weren't, because they're already for a possible carbon. Rather says it doesn't work that way. even though the carbon's already fossil, the sprinklings are nevertheless still sprinklings that happen.
Okay.
Fine. Now, let's finish off the... Well, but that's because, again, the same way as it works across avoiders, the same way it works within one avoider. Across different avoiders, then rather than saying it can also, it works within the same avoider as well. Okay. Now, we mentioned in the Braisa before, we mentioned the 43 sprinklings of Yom Kippur. So now the Gemara is going to take that point up. We know this in Zvachim as well. What do you mean avoiding the Sholish? What do you mean there are 43 sprinklings? Well, Tanya avoiding the Sheva. We learn in another Braisa there are 47. The answer is, like Hasha, Ha, Commander Alma, Ma'ar, and Lachronos. One, yeah, we have this in Zvachim, yeah. One Braisa is talking about, now you have like this. Again, sprinkles from the power in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then from the Sardis. Then from the power on the Parashas, then from the Sardis. That everybody agrees to. So those first 32 everybody agrees to. Now what happens? The Mishnah in Yuma tells us at that point he mixes together the blood of the power and the blood of the Sardis. Then he applies the mixture to the four corners of the Mizeh Hazav and seven times to the top.
It's not normally done this way.
When it's not normally done. When it comes to Yom Kippur, the Torah tells us that he has to do that. Okay, so you have one opinion that says that you mix them before you apply them to the corners, and you have another opinion that says no, you still apply separately from the power to the four corners and separately from the third to the four corners. Then you mix them together and apply seven to the top. So the two brises reflect those opinions. Ha, Commander Amar Ma'arvin Lashonis, the first brise that was quoted on Amar Aleph, is according to the opinion that you mix them together before you apply them to the Kronos. So then you have 8, 8, 8, 8, mix 4 and 7, so that total 43. Of the Hakam and Dharma Ivan and the other Bryce says according to the opinion that we don't mix them. He has 8, 8, 8, 8, 4, 4, mix 7. And that totals 47. What about so that's to answer the question why 43 or 47? Not some are mixed earlier. Two different opinions of Tanoim when... Two different opinions. Yeah, not some mixed them earlier. Two different opinions of Tanoim when you should mix them. Okay. What about Vartanya? Okay, fine. You want to say it's fine. Okay. What about Vartanya Aboy Mishmoy? No, what about we learned yet another Braisa that there were 48? Where does the last one come in? The answer is like Hasha, Hakamandra Amma Shirayim Masin. That Braisa follows the opinion that pouring of the Shirayim on the Yisod of the Mizeh HaChitin is Ma'asir, if you didn't do it, the Korban is possible. Therefore, that pouring is counted as a 48, that's application of blood. But Hakamandra Amma Shirayim Ma'asin, where the other Braisa is the 43 and 47, are according to the opinion that it's not Ma'asir, so therefore you can't count it. I've mentioned before, when we looked at Zvachim, I mentioned something the Baal Turim says, that according to the opinion that you have 48, that corresponds to the 48 brises that were made regarding the Torah. At the end of this week's parasha, the Torah tells us, Ela divra bris, ashashira, ashashira, karas itam b'chorev, that you had the bris in Arvashim, you had the bris in Chorev, when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, and again in Oyo Moyev, this is according to Rabbi Akiva, and again in Arvashim Moyev, 16 brises on each one, the Gemara explains in Sosa, 16 times 3 is 48. Corresponding to that, according to this last opinion, you have the 48 applications of blood and in Kippur. Okay. Now we have a... So that would be according to the opinion that you mix them after you apply them to the four corners of the Mizeah, and also that you need the Shirayim poured on your side. Okay. Now we have a question as follows. Getting back to a minta now. What would happen if he had a sort of pigle while he's walking the Komet over to the Mizeach? Now, we said in our Mishnah that when it comes to the burning of the Komet on the Mizeach, that the Chachamim and the Meir disagree whether having a sort of pigle during that is enough or whether it also needs to be in the Labona. Would that also apply to the Halacha, to the walking over of the Komet to the Mizeach? Well, it's part of the Avoda, but the question is, would we say it's half an Avoda, and therefore the Chachamim would say that it's only Tigal if you had in mind doing the Halacha of the Kremit and the Halacha of the Labona, or maybe not? No, we didn't know. We didn't. We had a discussion about Halacha, whether it's necessary. We had a Shimon saying it's not even necessary. Fine, but this is a different issue. We're talking within the Chachamim, we say it's necessary. Okay. So Amr of Yechanan Halacha is Mitzah. So Rav Yechanan says it doesn't matter. Halacha is just like Mitzah because it is a full-fledged avoda in itself. And there's no, just like, and there's no Kmitzah when it comes to Lavoina. Therefore, when it comes to the Kmitzah, you have only one part of the avodah. You have only the kmita of the kmita itself. So therefore, yeah, halacha is just like that. The shlocha says no. The halacha is like the burning of it. Therefore, you'll have the machlokes of a chachamim and Rav Meir of our Mishnah. Rav Meir will say that it's pigul if he had in mind only during the halacha of the kmita, and the chachamim will say he'd have to have in mind also during the halacha of the levayim. So he says, the shlema of the shlokish, I can understand according to the shlokish why the chachamim should say that it's not tigul in that case, because ikanami halacha de levayna, because the fact of the matter is, you have to walk the levayna over to the mizbeach as well. El or Rav Yechon in my time, what's Rav Yechon today for? Obviously, therefore, so therefore, you have an avodah that has two parts, the halacha of the kaimus and the halacha of the levayna. And the Chachamim are saying, ain't mefaglin b'chsi masi, you can't create tigul with only half the masi, you need both halves. So just like they say, as far as the boning, so it should apply as far as I lock. Why is Rav Yechanan disagreeing? Amar Rabba, kosover Rav Yechanan, because Rav Yechanan holds like this. Kol avoida she'ena matera. He says like this. Any avoida that's not actually masir the korban, Avoida chashuvi, he is considered an important avoida, lefagla leo, with neasma, where it can create pigul all by itself. What do we mean that it's not masir? Rashi says that it's not masir in the sense that you don't have to do it, because you could have, for example, you could have one koyan hold the levona and passes it to the next one, who passes it to the next one, and so forth, as brought over to the mizbeach, not necessarily does it need to actually be walked over. You have other mafarshim who explain that it's aiming masir in the sense that, for example, the shchita of an animal is masir because it's masir, the blood to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. The haktara of the koimet is masir because now it's masir the shirayim to be. The halacha is an important avodah. Sure, it has to be done, but it's not helping to make mutter anything more than there was before. There isn't anything that's mutter after the halacha that wasn't mutter before. So Rav Yochanan is going to say such an avodah that ain't a materas according to either of these definitions. Then you would say it can. Then you could say you don't need there the rule that you need the entire matter. There you would say such an avodah is strong enough to create tigul even if it doesn't involve the entire matter. That's the point. The walking alone, therefore, Rav Yochanan says the walking of the kohenet itself. It can cause it to become tigul, even if he didn't have in mind during the walking of the levayna, because the walking is not an avodah that's masir. Either again, according to Rashi, because it doesn't have to be done, because you can pass it from hand to hand, or according to the other mafarshim, because it's not masir or anything, so that makes it stronger, and makes it more chashuv, it makes it a more important avodah. Because when it comes to an avodah that's masir or something, then you could say you need the entire masir. Here it's not master anything. Therefore, why should we care whether we have the whole master or half of it? Okay. Omele Abaya had a shchitas echad nakvosim da'avodah shein ha'matirosa. Fine, but if you're going to say that, consider the case of shechting the two kvosim that come with the shtei alechem. There you have the shechting itself on the face of it is not master anything. Because it's only when the blood of the kvasim is sprinkled that the shtei alechem become mutter to eat. Or pligi, and yet we see that Rav Meir and the Chachamim disagree. So obviously it's not a question of whether the avodah is one that's matir or not. It's not, because we learned in our Mishnah. Shachadechem nachvasim lechol shtei chalos l'macher, if he shechted one of the sheep having in mind to eat both chalos tomorrow, or hikter echem namazichem lechol shnei sedarim l'macher, or he burnt one of the bazichin of levoina from the lechem aponim, having in mind, which is half the matter, having in mind that he's going to eat both stacks of lachma pan tomorrow, the mayor of Tigul v'chayom al-karis, the mayor says Tigul and his karis, v'chamam in the karis ad shi'fagul v'chol matter. And shchita is not something that's matter, argues Abaya, and yet you see that the chachamim insists you need the entire matter to be involved, both kvasim or both bazifin. So you see from that, it's not a question whether it's an avodah that's matter or no or not. Amalei, the Rabbi answers him, Ni Sarat Lechem Matanu Kadosh. What are you thinking? The bread, the Shtei Alechem, becomes Kadosh, yet Kedushas Haguf, while it's still in the oven? No. It's true that the oven is a Kli Sharis. We're going to learn that later on in the Masechta. We learned in Zvachim that the oven in the Masechta was made out of metal. we discussed over there why that was. We thought it had to do with being the Kaddish, the things that are made in it.
Right.
We end up saying the reason is because of so you don't have the issue of having to break it, et cetera. But anyway, the point is that it is a pre-sharif. However, Rava is saying, don't think that the Shtei Alechem become Kaddish as soon as they're baked in that oven, which then you could argue the Shchit is not accomplishing anything regarding them.
Right.
No. Shchit is Kvasim Mekadshalei. No. When the Kvasim are Shechted, that's what gives the Lechem Kedusha Sagur. Now, at that point, you can't be Kodesh to them if they became Tomei, for example. So therefore, in that sense, you can say that the Shchit of the Kvasim is a Matzah. It is something that has an effect on the bread. Before it didn't have Kedusha Sagur, now it does. Therefore, yes, you could say that Chachamim insists that you need the entire Matzah, both Kvasim. But not, Rabbi is saying, Abaya, apparently you thought that the Shchita doesn't accomplish anything with the Shtei Alechem, but it does. The Shchita of the Kvasim accomplishes that now the Shtei Alechem has the Shtei Alechem. Right.
Why are you saying that, Abaya?
He didn't say it. Rabbi is saying, you, Abaya, if you're asking that the Shchita isn't accomplish anything, apparently you're under the impression that they're already Kaddish from before, and then they become mutter to eat when the blood is sprinkled, which is not the case. They only become Kaddish when the Kvasim are shed. Okay, he didn't say. Robert is saying, apparently you seem to be thinking that. Okay. And therefore, Kabbalah Kaddish, Kabbalah Hasidami. So something that comes, that gives something to Yusha, is the equivalent of a master. The Chachamim are going to insist, you need the entire master. Master Rav Shimi Ba'ashi. Okay, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi asks on this, though. I have a stira from another Braisa. Now, you have like this. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, the person who's shechting the Korban Pesach has to have in mind that he's shechting it on behalf of people who are going to be able to eat it. So he can't have in mind, for example, Azraelim, people who don't have a bris milah. He can't have in mind Tmeyim, he can't have in mind whatever. So, they're not able to eat. They're not able to eat from it. And if you were to shecht it on behalf of Azraelim, it would be kosher. So now you have, so the Braisa starts by saying that according to the Chachamim, if he had in mind Mulim as well as Azraelim, people who have a bris milah as well as people who don't, then it would be okay. Because it's a chasimatis. Acherim oimim, acherim, which is usually the mayor, says no. Hiktim mulim la'areinim kosher. If he had in mind the people with the mila first, when he was shechting the first simen of the animal, then good. Because then it's kosher. Hiktim areilim l'mulim, possible. But because then, if he had in mind the areilim first, then it would be possible, but Kaimalon, the Bachasimatis, now we know, the Gemara discusses over there in Sochim, that the underlying Machloitas is making it possible using half a Machloitas.
Yeah,
now again, the question is,
he had in mind
the Reilim,
that's possible.
Right, only a is possible, but he was talking about in mind Mulim and a Reilim. He had in mind, one second, he had Mulim in mind during Shechting one Simen, and then he had a Reilim in mind during the other Simen. Rav Meir is saying that's okay, but if he did it the other way around, Arelim in the first simon, Mulim in the second simon, then it would be possible. And the issue is Chassimatis. Now on the face, not Higgle, it would be possible.
Possible.
But now on the face of it, the Shchita of the Korban is not a Matir, what is it being Matir? So obviously then, the Chachamim are disagreeing, even when it's not an Avodah, it's not. The Shchita of the Korban is not Matir yet, you have to sprinkle the blood. On the lake. There's no Lechem when the Korban is coming. Omalei, so Rava answers him, Mitzavet Dam Mitzavet a Kaddish. Again, you're thinking that the blood of the animal of Kaddish has Kedusha Sagur while it's still in the neck? No. Dam Sakin Mekadshalei. No, the blood only becomes Kaddish once the knife shechts the animal. So therefore, again, Bahabali Kaddish, Kabbalah Hasidami. Again, you have something that's coming to be Mekadish is the equivalent of something that's being Master. The Chachamim are going to say you have to have the entire Master being involved, namely both Simonim, Shchita of both Simonim. The mayor is going to say you don't need that. One half of it is enough. But we're talking about Shchita. The Shchita is not a Master, but the Shchita is a Mekadish. Because the Shchita is Mekadish, the blood.
Like
we said, the shchita of the kavasim is mekadesh the lechem. Here, the shchita of the korban pesach and mekadesh is the blood that now it can be sprinkled on the mezeach. Yeah. So we've discussed before the whole issue of does the knife have to be a kli sharet or not in order to be mekadesh the blood? So do we mean yes, and therefore that, and therefore it has to be a kli sharet? On the other hand, we have various gemaras and things that imply that it doesn't have to be. Does this knife have to belong to Hekdesh and be something that was designated to be used in the Beth Mitzvah? You have, for example, the famous story of B'nai B'Serda and Hillel, where they were asking about can you shecht it when you can win the Korban Pesach, when Erev Pesach on Shabbos, and then you have the later part of the story, and if they ask, what do you do if a person forgets to bring their knife? And Hillel says, I don't remember the answer. That's something. That's something. And then Hillel doesn't know the answer offhand, but he says, B'nai Yisim Nevi'im, the Jewish people are B'nai Nevi'im, hey, and the next day everybody brings their knives, and the next day everybody brings their knives stuck into the wool or into the horns of the animals. So the point is, they're bringing knives from their house, they're not a Klei Sharis. So one answer is, so first of all, one answer obviously could be that they designate them as Klei Sharis. But another answer is, when we say that the sakin is Mekadosh, we don't really mean the knife itself, we mean the act of shchita is Mekadosh to them.
Can you carry a knife?
Ah, so the Gemara discusses the issue over there, that they're not carrying it directly.
No.
That would be also on Shabbos. No. Like this is sticking it into the wool, or sticking it between the horns. That would be osur. It's something called mechamer. However, in this case, mechamer means when you're telling an animal, when you're driving an animal along while carrying something. So therefore, so that's osur. However, in this case, because it was necessary for the mitzvah, the chachamim didn't make, because it was necessary for the mitzvah, shechem, that's when the chachamim allowed it.
Midoraita,
yeah.